Meal planners are spending a lot of their time trying to glue computers to everything, but in a lot of cases, the computer has to go in the space between, and it's really not a whole lot of space for the contractors to work with. Hi, and welcome to everyone. This is Don Dingy, and I'm usually in the space between on the editorial staff with Open Systems Media. I'll be your moderator for our program on why MilAero PC 104 applications are making the move to ComExpress, sponsored by RateAssist. If you have been with us before, we're going to give you a quick tour of the viewing experience. Stay with us for a couple seconds. Then I will have a couple of topical thoughts on this subject. We will hear from the people you came to hear from, our expert guests, and we'll have some questions in our question and answer session, and you will be a key participant in that. So stay with us. Like I said, if you've been with us before, let me go back to my slide here. If you've been with us before, you know the drill. If it's your first time with us, thanks for joining. Here's some viewing tips. You are seeing these slides on the right half of your screen. If you'd like, you can go to a larger view. Just click the Enlarge Slides button. You can download slides we're using today by clicking the Download button. You can invite a friend who should be watching this, and there's that question and answer box. Ask a question is what it says. I'll be picking questions from your submissions for our Q&A session with our experts right after the presentation. Just type in that box and hit Submit Question. So, what is happening in this space? I'm going to try and stay out of the specifics of our presenters here and kind of portray the problem in a more general way, and then they're going to go into their solutions. With people being out of some of these platforms, unmanned platforms, and cores being in, and I tend to think of computers as cores because it's really a core, multi-core problem. Removing the people means less space. We've got a nice example there in the Hunter UAV on our left. But these missions that we're undertaking actually take more computers, more cores, being crammed into more places and attached to more things. So the order of the day is small, light, and low power. And one of the interesting things that's happening, we have this feeling that mill platforms are extremely long life cycles, but as computers are evolving faster and faster and faster and missions are changing more quickly, technology insertion, planned technology insertion, starts to become a real key element as the platform evolves, and there's got to be a good way to deal with that. One of the other elements is the I/O of these platforms rarely changes unless there's a major systems upgrade going on. But the core needs grow over time, maybe new algorithms, new processing, new countermeasures types of things need to happen. So the demands on the core go up, and the I/O doesn't change much. And that set of conditions is determining what the right types of computers for these new platforms is. And we're going to talk to our experts to bring us more in on that. I'm going to introduce them in reverse order, ladies first, and then we will introduce our first speaker second, just to confuse everybody today. Jennifer Zickel is a product manager for the ComExpress product line at RateAssist. She has 20 years of experience in product line management, product marketing, product engineering roles for component board and system-level products, latest technology to older legacy products. In addition to her RateAssist time, she's worked for places like Intel, Texas Instruments, and Lattice Semiconductor. Our first speaker is going to be Scott Fabini. He will transition to Jennifer. Scott's a systems architect with RateAssist Corporation. He has over 10 years' experience in embedded computing with a focus on system architecture in form factors like ComExpress, small form factor motherboards, compact PCI, VME, advanced mezzanine card, micro TCA, and advanced TCA, among other things. Prior to working for RateAssist, Scott worked for the embedded computing operation of Emerson Network Power. He holds a Bachelor of Science in Electrical Engineering from Purdue University. And Scott, we are ready for you to go.
Great. Thanks, Don. Okay, so first up, we will start with our agenda of key topics that we'll be going over today. First up, we'll focus on key design challenges faced by portable MilAero applications. And we'll go into a brief history of PC 104 and ComExpress as far as standards are concerned. We'll go into form factor comparison. And then I'll hand over to Jennifer for some thoughts on RateAssist ruggedization and some conclusions. First up is key design challenges facing military applications today. We see an increasing need for graphics and display units. We see an increasing need for connectivity, so LAN access from the compute units. We see smaller space constraints and lower weight constraints, lower power fanless systems with higher performance targets, so this is all size, weight, and power performance. We see a move to a commercial at the shelf, yet really requiring specialized I/O that can make the compute unit more modular, whereas the I/O is more fixed. We see a shorter lifetimes of COTS products relative to program length, so we need these multiple technology insertions. We see shorter development cycles with fewer resources, but products still must maintain their high product reliability standards. Brief history of PC-104 and COM Express. So PC-104 started as an ISA-bus-based specification ratified in 1992, then moved to being a PCI-based spec ratified in 2003, and then PCI Express and USB extensions were ratified in 2008. COM Express was ratified by PCMIC in 2005. This standard supports PCI Express, USB, video, audio storage, and other PC interfaces available at the connector. And then the release 2.0 update was recently ratified to support high-end video like DVI, HDMI, and DisplayPort, and forward-looking aspects like USB 3.0 just in the last couple months. So this slide kind of goes over the various form factors along a kind of performance trend and a market segment division of the mil-aero market. So at the top end, we see high performance needs with form factors requiring server class processors on ATCA platforms. These are applicable to ground stations, command and control, data and image processing, and command center-like applications. In the middle is kind of the traditional market of mission computing that has been filled traditionally by VPX or traditionally by VME and compact VCI, and is now trending towards VPX. And then on the lower end of the performance scale, trending towards like laptop or mobile class processors or Atom class processors, we see the mobile segment, which is an evolving segment for wearable and mobile computing, computer display units, unmanned aerial and ground vehicles, and then smaller mission computing or control computing. And so in this lower performance segment is where PC-104 and COM Express really play. It's targeted at low power processors for in a very small space to address size, weight, and power concerns. Going over the feature set of PC-104 I/O relative to COM Express, we see on the right that PC-104 is limited to just PCI, PCI Express, and USB expansion, whereas COM Express, as indicated earlier, also has PCI Express, PCI, and USB connections, but also breaks out more of the I/O that you see common in processors today, such as SATA, such as HD audio, and LAN port for Ethernet connectivity. So the consequences of this is that there's limited board area for PC-104 processor boards to add connectors for LAN, SATA, and video. And those interfaces are not available to other boards in the stack. Whereas with COM Express, those IOs are provided at the connector, and so you can break those IOs out to your carrier board and provide access to them as you see fit. Next up, kind of delving further into that I/O access at the connectors, we show a comparison of the COM Express compact form factor relative to the PC-104 Express form factor. And we see here that the PC-104 connectors take more space on the CPU modules. They offer fewer functions, and space is needed on both sides of the board for stacking. So PC-104, one of the modular concepts is to have stacked boards. And so when you place the connectors necessary for this, you have very little space remaining to place your processor and those additional IOs that you need to break out of the board. with ComExpress, the form factor is focused on enabling the maximum space for the processor, the compute subsystem, and then the I/O is brought down to the carrier board for required access through the ComExpress connectors. Here's a comparison of those form factors. So the last slide was kind of comparing the PC104 90 by 96 millimeter form factor to the smallest ComExpress module defined. This is the compact form factor, which is a similar size, 95 by 95. There is also two other form factors that are specified in the ComExpress specification. There's a basic form factor that's 95 by 125, and an extended form factor that goes up to 110 by 155. For each of these form factors, it is the same connector location, and the mounting hole locations are compatible between the three. So you could make one carrier design that was had the mounting hole patterns to accommodate an extended, a basic, or a compact form factor all in one carrier board. Or you could design it just for a basic and a compact. Or you could, if you're very space constrained and you know that you're only going to be using processor classes that are suitable for compact form factor, you can choose your mounting holes to accommodate only the compact form factor. So this gives you a level of scalability across the various form factors. So just to give a little guidance of expectations, the compact form factor is suitable for Atom class processors. The basic form factor is suitable more for Core i7 class processors with SODIMM modules, potentially. And then the extended form factor, you can go up to probably the same mobile class Core i7 processors, but you can accommodate full-size DIMMs on the extended form factor. Delving a little further into I/O access at the connectors, so with PC104, increasing the capability of PC104 processor solution often means adding stacked boards and connectors. And so you see on the right a stacked down approach where the processor is on top, and then you bring the PCI and the PCI Express down through their respective connectors down to the lower boards in the stack, and that's how you derive your I/O. And so when you do this, you see that the PCI has to go through multiple connectors, which could cause some signal integrity concerns over multiple stacks. And then the PCI Express also has to go through multiple connectors, and being a point-to-point interconnect, then it has to branch out to the individual PCI Express device. With ComExpress, ComExpress offers I/O, all of its I/O accessible in a two-board solution. So the ComExpress connector, you get your PCI Express, you get the same or even greater PCI Express connectivity. You also get your SATA connectivity, your USB connectivity, and your LAN port connectivity, and your video, all accessible at the one ComExpress connector. And there, from there, you can break it out as you see fit. Another interesting aspect of ComExpress is that the ComExpress specifications specifies a heat spreader. And so this is a common thermal solution that facilitates custom thermal solutions. So a heat spreader mounts to the module, to the standoff location, standoff mounting hole locations of the module, and makes thermal contacts with hot components, not really shown in the graphics, but you can imagine a chunk of metal coming down and making thermal contact with processors or hot components on the board. And then you have the flat surface on top to which you can affix either commercial off-the-shelf heat sink with passive fins, or a customized heat sink, say attach it to the wall of a chassis. Graphics processing is becoming increasingly important in military applications, and so multi-display systems are becoming increasingly important. Native graphics are improving significantly on Intel processors. So ComExpress provides access to VGA, LVDS, and SDVO video ports at the connector. So we provide access so that customers can take advantage of the native and inherent graphics capabilities of the latest processors. You don't have to add a separate processing unit to access this vital I.O. In the release 2.0 version of the specification, a new Type 6 profile is defined for ComExpress that adds support for DisplayPort, DVI, and HDMI modern video interfaces. Up to 3 video ports, plus LVDS and VGA, those older technologies that are supported in the original spec, are available. And this is consistent with Intel Core i7 mobile platforms. So you can take advantage of the I.O. with the compute unit that you're providing on your module. So an overall summary, with ComExpress, there's greater board efficiency with the two-board solution, and this two-board solution can, in many cases, reduce the cost of the overall solution at the system level. There's more for high-performance CPUs and for customers concerned about heat dissipation, there's more board area to place components, and it's easier to implement the heat spreader and heat sink solution. In terms of vertical height, it's a shorter and predictable height with ComExpress. With PC104, you can have a very large stack of vertical modules, so you get a little more uncertainty as far as how big your stack is going to be. With I.O., you have greater flexibility with the carrier board. You can break out the I.O. to the connectors on the carrier board itself. And there's more PCI Express and USB ports relative to PC104. Parts management, there's fewer boards to manage with a two-board solution. You don't need to manage as many suppliers for the various I.O. like you would with PC104. Board space constraints, it's an unconstrained carrier board. So this is in terms of you can make your board as small as you see fit within the bounds of the ComExpress module itself. So you can't go smaller than a compact board. You can't go smaller than a PC104 board. In terms of signal integrity, it should be better since signals pass through no more than one connector going to the carrier board. And for connector constraints, it's easier to accommodate tall connectors and connector placements on the periphery of the module itself on your carrier board so you can break out the I.O. So why ComExpress for Millero applications? So ComExpress is a PCMIG industry standard for computer-on-modules. It's managed by PCMIG. The ComExpress approach to embedded design delivers benefits of modularity, scalability, and ease of upgradability. So you can take your core compute function, your processor, your memory, your video, SATA, and Ethernet, interfaces and integrate them all onto one computer on module, and then develop the carrier to utilize the I.O. For your functionality that's required by your application. Because the compute unit is then modular, you have a lower total cost of ownership over multiple tech insertions. So together, the ComExpress and the carrier board deliver the functionality of a custom single board computer. But with the modularity aspect, you gain a potential for a longer life cycle via multiple tech insertions of an upgraded processor module. So with that, I will transfer the presentation over to Jennifer Zickel, our product line manager.
Well, greetings. This is Jennifer Zickel, and I'm going to talk a bit about how RaidAssist adds to the ruggedability of our ComExpress modules and brings them to a level that is comparable with what design engineers envision PC104 ruggedability. It's interesting, Scott mentioned in 2005 the ComExpress specification was initially ratified, and ComExpress took off exponentially in applications such as standard test and measurement, medical, not the rugged industrial but standard control processing. But it's been in the last 2 years that it's really taken off in the mil-aero and highly ruggedized industrial applications that typically migrate to the PC-104. And, you know, I think the ComExpress standard has proven itself as well as the reliability and ruggedness of the modules. It's been out 5 years. It's well known. It's well accepted, and it's very solid. And so that's why we see the uptake with previous PC-104 customers. Mil-aero applications that are moving to ComExpress typically look at a few items, or they prioritize their movement to a modular standard such as ComExpress. And for some of the reasons as an industry standard product class. Now, this is the absolute number one rank, and this means it has a third-party standard standing behind it. It's not going to change. It's not owned by a company. You can count on the specification from year to year with a definite process for changing that specification. Also, this includes the backwards compatibility with the legacy product, as well as the modularity of the boards. In order for a COM module to be backward compatible and truly modular, it needs to be the same year to year. The pinouts need to be the same or very upgradable progressively moving forward. In addition, reliability of the boards comes at a very high rank, and the size and flexibility of using the different sizes of those boards. So ComExpress has proven itself to be a modular industry standard solution, and Radisys adds the reliability to an already rugged standard that makes it adoptable by mil-aero applications. Another big item that it has appeal in the, in the mil-aero application is that the ComExpress product line enables long life. A standards-based module enables long life. Many times, you know, as customers move to the COTS products, that also includes jumping on the technology bandwagon. And processors are upgraded every year to year, every 2 years. There needs to be a leap in performance. And applications, along with that, the graphics are becoming more demanding, and the applications need to keep up. And this greatly relies on the processor, chipset, and memory portion of the system. So what ComExpress does is it separates the I.O. from the processor, chipset, and memory and enables that portion that needs to stay on the technology bandwagon to be upgraded fairly simply and easy because it's such a well-defined standard. So customers can start designing with one module and go to market with the latest and greatest technology and have a refresh 5-10 years down the line to maximize their product longevity. How Radisys differs itself from other ComExpress modules in terms of reliability is that on our extended temperature product line, we implement halt testing as well as HASS testing. Now, halt testing has a direct improvement on reliability. What it does is it identifies the design weaknesses during the design phase. Halt encompasses temperature testing from the low end to the high end, as well as 6 degrees of freedom on the X, Y, Z axis as far as vibration. So it's directionally and rotationally. So HALT takes those stresses and pushes them until the unit reaches its physical limits, or in essence is destroyed. It is destructible. So we can tell, we characterize and validate when the unit, when our module as well as the components on the board of the module stop working, are able to come back into a working mode, or they stop working into a destruction mode and we cannot return to a working mode. Once we identify all the limits within this range, we set our operating margins well inside of any non-working unit parameters. So, and then the specifications that go onto the data sheet are even within that range. So we really are stringent about setting our margins and testing and ensuring that reliability is baked into these units. And this is performed on all Radisys extended temperature products. In addition to HALT testing, we do HASS testing. And HASS testing ensures the component adherence to the specifications that we set. This screening is based on the HALT results, and it's done in manufacturing as a combination of power and temperature testing. Again, this is performed on all extended temp products, and what it does, it allows us to track any components that are drifting outside the range of what we consider a normal operating function and feature. And so if a component vendor is drifting, we can identify that and work it, the issue before it ever reaches a customer's hands. In addition to the HALT and HASS testing, which sets the reliability at a higher standard than others, we do offer a wide range of custom services that are needed to support the mil-aero applications that we're seeing today. With a ComExpress application, we offer custom carrier services. We have partners that provide custom carrier design, as well as we offer review services. Our engineers are very experienced in carrier design and can spot very quickly any of the issues that somebody else may have with a carrier design. So we do schematic reviews to speed time to market in that aspect, as well as we help with carrier debug if somebody experiences issues with their debugging of their carrier. We also provide custom BIOS services, which is in high need, and we have BIOS that enables and tools that enable customers to customize their own BIOS as well. We noticed that thermal consulting is sometimes a gap in many organizations because a full-time thermal engineer cannot be justified across the project. So we do have design consulting, and we manufacture our own heat sinks as well as custom heat sinks for specific designs. And a key item that we offer is a custom SKU or a custom configuration of a module, which could include installation on a carrier with a custom heat sink and BIOS and conformal coat. And here is an example of a custom SKU. We would test this to meet the specific use in case of, and profile for a application. It would be this one specifically we're doing was validated for a wider operating range, negative 40 to 85, than our standard extended temp, which is negative 25 to 70. So we used a custom environmental and functional test profile to match it up to their application to meet that temperature range. I had integrated memory and conformal coat, which we used Humacil 1B31, and it enabled a custom thermal solution. So this would come assembled into the customer's receiving department, and it would just need adherence to the carrier card. In conclusion, our main point is that technology is driving higher levels of performance in mil-aero applications. Graphics and video and processing is in demand everywhere. You don't just see it on iPods and on high-definition TVs. This is happening in mil-aero applications, and that creates a need for the technology treadmills, the serial buses, and the technology of today that can enable that. COTS adoption puts these applications on that technology treadmill. If a standard SBC is used that has the processor soldered down and the entire board needs to be upgraded to encompass a new processor, that time is months to years longer of development work rather than doing a technology insertion with ComExpress. So we've seen ComExpress design engineers expecting 15 to 20, even 20-year lifetimes for their products, for their rugged long life and upgradable designs. Cost-based carrier boards combined with Radisys ComExpress modules can decrease the time to market and increase the lifetime, as well as decrease cost for systems when compared to a stackable solution such as PC104. To find out more about how ComExpress stacks up to PC104, please check out this website that we've created. It has a video, it has the white paper you can download, and more information on the comparison between PC104 and ComExpress. I thank you for attending, and I'm going to hand this back to Don for a question and answer period.
Great. Thanks, Jennifer. I do want to remind everybody that we have two expert guests with us today, Jennifer Zickel with Radisys and Scott Fabini with Radisys. And they're going to take on the best questions that have come in from the audience. I want to go ahead and start with Scott. And Scott, there's several things related to connectors. I think that's a good place to start. So obviously, ComExpress is a newer connector, so let's talk about electrical characteristics first. One of the benefits has got to be this is made for faster signaling. You mentioned things like PCI Express Gen 2, faster video standards. Tell us a little bit about the signal integrity of the connector.
Yeah, so the ComExpress connector is designed for and rated for 6.25 gigabaud signaling. So relative to, say, PCI Express Gen 2, which is 5 gigabaud or 5 gigabits per second signaling rate, the ComExpress connector is rated for that level of signaling. The R2.0 update to the COM.0 specification does provide guidance for designers of modules and carriers for designing for Gen 2 or 5 gigabaud signaling. So the spec itself actually provides some guidance on enabling 5 gig or PCI Express Gen 2 solutions. So I think that as far as other interfaces, most interfaces like video, USB, even super speed USB, USB 3.0, are 5 gigabits per second and below. So for this current range of technologies for the next few years, foreseeable future, I'd say, we have sufficient signaling for the interfaces that we should expect within the near term time frame. Yep.
The next part of the connector equation is the question people always ask, and there's a couple people asking similar versions of this. I'm going to start with the shock and vibration piece. So one of the pieces of ComExpress is they are fairly small modules, which gives you some advantages, but tell us what you'd like us to know about how ComExpress deals with shock and vibration.
Yeah, first of all, you know, we need to note that the module itself is securely fastened to the board through its standoffs, through the standoff mechanism. So it's actually screwed into the board, and the heat spreader solution is actually part of that. So it's all securely fastened to the board through a screw and standoff mechanism. So the connector is not just, you know, the only point of contact for the board. So you have a secure connection. And as far as the connector ruggedization itself, you know, as far as vibration and shock, Radisys performs its shock and vibration test, or the entire profile testing per Vita 47 class EAC1. And so that's a standard for environmental conditions in the military market. And so we test all of our products that are focused on the military market and in extended temp varieties to that EAC1 classification. So I think that shows that the shock from a shock and vibration standpoint that the modules are suitable.
Then there's the other things that the mill community usually brings up, things like how many mating cycles do I get? The thing's not, ComExpress is not exactly meant to be mated and unmated a lot, if I understand it correctly. So is that true?
So at RateAssist, we have not yet qualified a mating cycle limit for the ComExpress connector, and I'm not sure that PicMig has either. I think from our perspective, we believe it's suitable for integration and repair as part of a larger field replaceable subsystem. We would be interested in hearing from customers whose serviceability model may be different and would require validation of specific number of mating cycles. But it's not a hot swap system, or it's not a system where you would necessarily be, you know, opening up the entire chassis and doing field maintenance
right.
In those conditions.
It's really there for technology insertion if somebody does want to pull off the processor and plug a newer one in. Certainly the connector can handle that type of number of cycles. Have you done any work or even a preliminary look at like dust or salt spray or any contaminants that are pretty common in the mill environments?
Yeah, so the ComExpress connector has not presently been tested for operation in a two-level maintenance environment, such as where the mezzanine will be replaced in those kind of salt fog or dust or sand type environments. But I will say that the modules can be conformally coated to mitigate exposure to said elements. So that's one way of mitigating the exposure. But generally, I think from our perspective that they're not presently used in a two-level maintenance environment.
Give you a little break and let Jennifer comment on that before. So we were chatting about, you know, some of those maintenance items of time to repair, time to replace, time between failure. Jennifer, did you have additional thoughts on how people are, what you're hearing about ComExpress from those maintenance types of perspectives?
Yes. Well, we are proud of our MTBF numbers. They are calculated using the Telcordia standard spec. We offer the access to the MTBF numbers in our manuals for each product, and so they differ per product, ranging from 150,000 hours to 550,000, 600,000 hours, depending on the temperature and the product calculated for. As far as MTTR, which is mean time to recovery or repair, that really resides at a system level. And ComExpress, if used within our specifications, we don't spec it to go down and come back up. We spec it to just keep working all the time. So that's part of halt and haz testing there.
Well, I was going to say you mentioned calculated, but aren't your numbers actually derived from your halt testing?
We do. We have from both. So we calculate and publish per the Telcordia specification because that is the industry standard. Halt and haz is the additional reliability that is then really designed and tested in. So from both angles.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. From a similar standpoint, you mentioned halt and haz testing, and I imagine that factors into how you rate the temperature range for these products. You mentioned some industrial temperature ranges, but there's a question about minus 40 to plus 85. You said along the presentation somewhere that you do some screening. I imagine that's how you're going to answer this, but let's see where you're going to go with minus 40 to plus 85.
Well, yeah, we do offer some minus 40 to plus 85 modules, but in order to do so, the processor and chipset, the main components, must be rated for negative 40 to plus 85. However, if a customer comes in and wants one of our extended temperature range products, we can do a specific use study and case study about how they're using it, what temperatures, what they're stressing at those temperatures, and create a custom profile that meets that temperature range. And we have done that frequently.
Yeah, I think it's a good combination between selecting components and then what you're able to offer in your test strategy, right, to do those types of things. Is that
correct?
A fair statement? Okay. Scott, here's a good audience question. So one of the existing benefits of PC-104 is there are I/O modules, albeit some of them are lower speeds, but there are a lot of off-the-shelf I/O modules for integration. So one thing you're embracing here is a difference in that the carrier card is custom designed to the environment as opposed to picking off-the-shelf I/O modules. What are your thoughts on how carrier cards are designed and how to choose I/O and how to create some of that flexibility that PC-104 offered?
Well, I think that if a customer is using some legacy I/Os that is utilizing PC-104 peripherals, there's no obstacle to such a customer actually creating a carrier card that used a ComExpress module and was able to break out the I/O provided by the module itself, such as, you know, that we've been speaking about today, like the SATA and the video and the USB, and then also, you know, routing the PCI Express ports over to a PC-104 peripheral card. So I think the focus here is mainly on PC-104 as a processor board, and there you can do I/O expansion. Once you get it off the ComExpress module, you can do I/O expansion various ways. One way is to, you know, put the I/O that you require right on your carrier card, and that's probably the most cost-effective solution. But if you have some legacy I/O that's on PC-104 today and you wanted to create a carrier card that utilized a PC-104 peripheral location, that's also possible. So it gives you that flexibility.
Yeah, that's probably the question, is some of the slower, more legacy I/O. I guess I would say that, you know, some of these newer systems, we are getting more modern I/O, as you mentioned, like USB, that's doing some of these jobs. So, I mean, it's an interesting trade-off, and it might not be a direct replacement like you mentioned. But I understand PCMag has a carrier design guide, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so the carrier design guide helps explain some of the nuances of designing a carrier. So it provides kind of a getting started guide to designing your own carrier.
There's one point that you touched on in your presentation I'd like you to reinforce for the audience. One of the things that guide talks about is signal integrity and limiting run lengths on some of the critical signals coming off. So instead of running signals through an entire stack of PC-104 modules, you've got actually guidelines for how the ComExpress signaling coming off the character is coming off the connector is run length limited, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's
yep.
What the go ahead.
Yeah, and it provides guidelines, like I think like I mentioned earlier with PCI Express Gen 2, it provides guidelines for carrier designers on length limitations or simulation characteristics for PCI Express Gen 2. And so that is a very good point, that the ComExpress solution, especially for these higher speed signals like PCI Express that were, and even SATA, you know, going forward is becoming faster and faster, along with video pipelines, going through just the one connector down to your carrier, and then you can bring it straight into an I/O component or an I/O, you know, an externally accessible I/O connector, say an Ethernet RJ45, is a significant advantage of ComExpress for signal integrity aspects.
Let's talk about two physical characteristics of the modules for a second. So one of the issues with pluggable, stackable modules is always components on the bottom side and then components on whatever's adjacent. In this case, it's the carrier card. What kind of a room do you have to operate underneath on the bottom side of the ComExpress module?
Yeah, so the ComExpress specification allows for two stack height connectors to reside on the carrier. So you can choose to have a 5mm height connector or an 8mm height connector. And then the mating module can interface with either of those, and then you choose your standoffs accordingly for that mating height. The 5mm connector side of the carrier leaves very, very little, only a little room, like about 1mm between the carrier PCB and the tallest allowable component of the module. The 8mm version leaves about a 4mm gap where components could be placed on the carrier. So with the 5mm, it's very, very small space, and when you take into account some vibration aspects, you don't really have a lot of room to place components underneath. With the 8mm, you get a little bit of room, but still you got to take into account some vibration aspects. And so, you know, I don't think you want to go, you know, right up to the 4mm limit. Then you also take into account that the top side, you know, is we got our heat spreader interface, and then the heat sink can apply to that. And so really all of your heat gets dissipated up, and then the carrier can, you can put all your IO on the carrier, and it's deterministic that you know, your comm module is going to have space above it for the heat sink solution. And then you can build the heat sink, you know, as you see fit above it, and you get a little bit of room on the carrier below, but then you build out around it.
Come back to that heat spreader comment here in a second, but so a carrier card could be a similar size to a Comm Express module, but usually they're quite a bit bigger. So I mean, you've got more room to place higher profile components on the carrier card usually, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, you're not really constrained. A carrier is usually constrained by the form of the outside envelope, and not, it doesn't have to be the same size as the Comm Express module.
Right. So the Comm Express module is a computer on module. So you're able to have your entire compute unit, and then you build out as you see fit around it.
Right. And that's a difference from 104, that where everything has to stay within that vertical footprint envelope. If
right.
you're going to retain the benefits of the stackability and all that kind of thing, you can do customized things, but interesting. So you have a family, Radisys has a family of modules. For defense applications, these are going to be mostly fanless, I would imagine. You mentioned one of the benefits being a heat spreader. I know your mileage may vary, but can you characterize how much of a CPU you could fit in typical scenarios over these temperature ranges with a heat spreader in a fanless config, and maybe tell us a little bit of what people have to do as far as contact with a chassis or something like that?
Yeah, I think from our experience, what we've seen, and it's us and it's also our customers, we feel most comfortable probably around an 18-watt processor power range. So that would be like a ULV Core i3 or i5 processor in the 18-watt power range for the processor being utilized in a fanless environment. And then you could go down further into the Atom than that. So the very low-end power range of a Core i series, and then the Atom series used in a fanless environment. So that's kind of the range that we're targeting. Not so much the high-end like the 35-watt Core i7, but more the lower-end power ranges.
Got it. Intel's always driving that down. Obviously, the Atoms are well within range for the most part, and then some of the variants of the other platforms made for mobile fit in that 18-watt kind of a number. That's a good number. Thank you. One wrap-up question for Jennifer. So given all this, these are great ideas that we've heard. Can you tell us a little bit about some programs that are starting? We're a little bit early in the game. I understand these are design-in types of technologies. Can you tell us a little bit about some defense programs that are starting to look at Comm Express approaches?
I can't give specifics, but I can give some generalities on some applications that have been switching over from PC 104 to Comm Express. We're seeing some industrial applications that were heavy-duty industrial tester-type applications, some unmanned vehicle applications, as well as some image processing applications used in the mil aerospace area. So it's, again, the specification has been around since 2005, and it's solid, and it's deployed. It's been proven to be rugged, and I think now the uptake and the design-in is happening in the mil-aero applications.
What kind of reasons are you hearing in summary as people build that kind of experience seeing the modules? What are the main reasons that you're hearing? Is it strictly the compactness of the design, or is there something else going on that might be noteworthy?
There's a few top reasons that I hear over and over again. One is the long lifetime, technology insertions, and the size. The amount of processing that you need to pack in such a small size has increased so much, as well as the graphics. And if you separate the graphics off of that chipset and processor board, you get into more long life issues. So it's a compact solution that provides the long life and upgradability.
Good. Appreciate both of your answers during this session. I think we're going to go ahead and wrap up on that note. That was a great wrap-up comment. Thank you. We have just heard about why MilAero PC-104 applications are making the move to ComExpress from our featured guests, Jennifer Zickel and Scott Fabini. Thanks to them for sharing their expertise, and to Radisys for their sponsorship. This event and other eCasts are archived at the URL shown on your screen right now. These archived eCasts can be replayed at your convenience. We'd enjoy hearing how we did with this program. Please contact us at that email address. That's for Christine Long. Thanks to her, as always, for pulling everything and everyone together for these events. And be sure to check out more of this type of information on the pages of Military Embedded Systems at www.mil-embedded.com. And finally, thanks to everyone for being with us during this program. Please join us again on behalf of our guests and all of us here at Open Systems Media. This is Don Dingy saying, find something good, build something better, and help someone be happy today. See you soon.